This message is brought to you by Apple Card. Shave ice by the beach. A trip to the state fair. And a throwback flick at the local drive-in. They're more than just items to check off the summer bucket list. They're also opportunities to earn 2% daily cash back when you use your Apple Card with Apple Pay. Apply for Apple Card now and use in minutes with Apple Pay. Subject to credit approval, Apple Card is issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Terms and more at applecard.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast instead of doom scrolling? Smart move. Another smart move? Getting help from one of State Farm's 19,000 local agents when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
I am guaranteed the Cowboys will win 17 straight games.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Damn, he's kind of right.
We're hoping.
Now is the time.
Earlier on the show, Seahawks wide receiver Cooper Kupp. Coming up, Packers quarterback Jordan Love. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Cooper Kupp in hour one. Jordan Love, hour three. Let's kick off hour number two with one of my favorites. He's a happy camper because football is right around the corner. And his Padres have won 8 of 10. And I was just as happy watching Fernando Tatis just stick it to the Mets last night as if I was a Padre fan. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Jeremiah back.
Oh, man.
How are you, Daniel? What's up, DJ?
Life is good. I mean, I think you could stretch that out a little bit further, too. I think we're like 17-5 or 17-6, something like that. I mean, who's counting?
Well, but, I mean, if the Braves can catch the Dodgers, we got ourselves at what it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, is
baby.
A wild
give
card
it a three
series
gamer.
Up here in Chavez Ravine, right? Isn't that the way it would
be? Yeah, I mean, I would feel pretty good about it, considering I think Brockman's might be their closer by the time we get to that point, the time of the season.
Do you what horn would we use to herald your bullpen entrance?
Because
the trumpets would be taken.
Yeah, the trumpets are off the board.
Trombones, sad trombones,
sad trombones.
Womp womp as he comes out of the pen. It really doesn't have the same.
I got to be careful even invoking Brockman's name the way the Red Sox are playing. I better just leave him alone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, DJ.
They
respect.
Are white hot.
Respect.
White hot.
Not anymore. More,
right? Oh, really? Have you watched the last couple games?
Okay. Oh, last couple of games. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Daniel, let's jump into it, man.
Yeah.
What a bummer for the Chargers to lose their center for what it appears to be, you know, for a long period of time. I mean, nobody's saying it yet, but it looks like Tyler Biotish is going to be out for a long time, if not the season. DJ, what does that mean to everything the Chargers have been building towards so far here?
Well, I mean, it's brutal for him individually too. I mean, like, he comes in, gets a nice 3-year contract. He's a perfect fit in this Mike McDaniel scheme. It was an issue for this team the last couple of years, and I would argue last year, Rich, even with the tackles going down with Slater and Ault, the center position was even more of an issue for this team last year. They just did not have good play there. So, you know, the good news for the Chargers, if you're looking for good news here, is that Joe Ortiz in the front office, you know, realizing this was a major issue for them last year, they go out and sign Biotis, but then they double down. They go in the draft and get Jake Slaughter, who played center in college. That's what, you know, most teams, you know, evaluated him as going to the next level. And they were even thinking into the future of, okay, we can play him at guard for a couple years. And then when Biotis is done, we could slide him over to center. Now, obviously, this is accelerated. But you've got a guy in Jake Slaughter that's played a ton of football in college, and they took in the second round. That's a good scheme fit. So you're in a good spot there. And then, as in all these camps, Rich, you get some gems. I mean, they have an undrafted free agent out of Fresno State who I did not even write or watch. It wasn't recommended to me. But it's Spomer, Jacob Spomer. And I always, when I see Spomer, for some reason, I think of Mike Siever's best friend from Growing Pains, but it's a different name.
Excellent.
But he's played well and is a good fit in this scheme as well. So I think in years past, an injury to the offensive line for the Chargers was a death knell. I do think that they've done a good job of acquiring some depth.
All right. So then that's good news in that respect. And let's hope Biotish isn't done for the year. But that said, there are some reinforcements. That said, how would this affect what McDaniel is cooking there right now, Daniel?
I don't think it will. I think that this is a run game that is about the athleticism of the offensive line. It's a zone run game. It's a lot of perimeter runs. So it's just getting going laterally and your athletic based more than a power based offense. So like this, you know, this those two guys I just mentioned, probably not great fits with Greg Roman in a downhill gap scheme run system that they've had in the past. But in this system, you can go with more athletic players. And I think when you have the tackles on, they keep those guys healthy, although they also got a kid in Travis Burke who's a rookie tackle that's looked really, really good. But when you have Slater and Alt healthy, that's going to be what drives this thing. That's going to be what protects Justin Herbert, and that's going to be what drives the run game.
And how has it looked with McDaniel's offense now installed and being executed from what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, look, in the preseason, you didn't see the real guys. We'll see the real guys in this one for at least a series, I think. We'll see the starters. But you could see offensively how it's going to flow, which is a lot more on-time throws. When I was out there at training camp watching Herbert, you know, it was a lot of, you know, get to the top of your drop, back foot, and the ball's gone, which is going to really, you know, preserve him through games and throughout the season. And then you also have the movement stuff, which you got a chance to see, you know, with Trey Lance and DJU in their first preseason game against the Texans. And then I was not there yesterday, but by all public accounts and talking to some folks that were there, I mean, that's a good 49ers team, and it sounds like the Chargers kind of did what they wanted to do offensively. So the early returns are very positive.
Okay, and just watching Harbaugh and McDaniel operate together, you got a good story?
Oh, I've got something that I'm keeping an eye on. Mm-hmm. That I was told that there have been some glasses that have been ordered for Jim that McDaniel has ordered for him. Mm. I don't know when they come in,
okay,
and I don't know when he rocks them, but Harbaugh, I think, is a little superstitious too. I could see this evolving where you start winning some games and now you just keep adding from the Mike McDaniel wardrobe over to Jim as this thing really gets going. But that's a good first step when you start with the glasses. I think that's the first place I would start if I was going to try and adopt the wardrobe.
All right, over under on the number of consecutive wins and win streak it would take to see Capri khakis. What's the number?
I think that's a handful. I think you got to get to your second hand. I think that's, you got to get to five, and then you pull the pants up a little bit.
I think you got to get to third hand, man. I think you got to get to double-digit wins for him to be pulling out the Capri.
Jim could pull it off, man. He's still, I mean, he's in great shape. He's fit. Like he could make it work. I'm telling you.
And so Herbert unlocked to the point of, listen, I do a four down segment in previewing each team on this show. The Chargers one is, it's time for Herbert to win a playoff game, man. Like, that's really what it's all about. Because I feel like the Chargers are going to get to mid-January. And the question is, could they possibly get a home game, which means a division win? And do they need that? Because, I mean, they went to Houston. Turnovers galore. One and done them there. The Patriots in the cold, you know, that didn't work out. One and done them there. It's time, right? I mean, like, that's the question here for the Chargers, DJ.
No, I 100%. I mean, that's the next step that they need to take collectively. And part of that, and everybody always makes excuses for the Chargers. And I'm like, well, I mean, how many teams get there without their tackles? Like, when you take two all-pro level tackles and remove them, and you get the tar kicked out of you the entire season, and you still drag the team to the playoffs, like, there is something to be said for that. I would love to see them get to that point and be healthy and have a, you know, their whole entourage together offensively to see what they can do. But, you know, look, everybody has injuries, so I don't want to go too far into that. But you're right. I mean, I don't think they would run from that. They know they need to not only get there, but they got to make some noise when they do get to the playoffs. And I think this is their best shot. I do think this is the best roster that they've had, you know, since Jim Harbaugh's been there for sure. And with Joe Ortiz, they have more depth. So they're going to be able to withstand some injuries that are inevitably going to pop up. But it's got to, you know, I'm telling you, man, it's been McDaniel. It's been Herbert. People, you know, want to know about the Harbaugh McDaniel thing. And I'm sitting here going, guys, at the end of the year, we might be sitting here going like, why weren't we talking about Omarion Hampton this whole time? Like he just led the league in rushing. Like that is within its grasp. I know they've got other backs that they like, but I'm telling you, dude, this guy, he is so explosive and so physical. And you can show the clip. I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen the clip from the Niners thing. I mean, it was like a windshield and a bug when they tried to fit him up in the hole. That did not go well.
Yeah, I saw the clips yesterday.
He winning,
dominating
the rushing title, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I think this team is built to run the ball. I think this is the most creative run game designer in Mike McDaniel. You've got, I would argue, the most talented tackle duo in the NFL. You've got the threat of a passing game with Justin Herbert at all times, so you're not going to see as many heavy boxes. And you've got a back who's 225, 230 pounds, you know, who runs low 4.4, high 4.3, and, you know, hates to be tackled. I was around a shorter version of Omarion Hampton when I was with the Baltimore Ravens, and his name was Jamal Lewis, and I was there when he ran for 2,000 yards. So this guy is – there's a reason he was picked where he is, and he's perfectly situated in this scheme.
All right. Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen
Show. Is that a power statement? Woo. I don't know.
No,
maybe.
Dude, that's called a take, but it's also an informed one. I mean, you got boots on the ground there, being in the – radio booth for the Chargers as you are. So you just gave us somebody to look for that we're not talking about. What do you got for me in terms of teams that we're not talking about that we should be talking about going into the season? Daniel?
Yeah, you know, what's funny is that the team that I've been thinking about a lot recently is another team I used to work for, which is the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I feel like, and part of it's because you've got the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl and they're on Hard Knocks. Obviously, the Rams and what they've done and Myles Garrett and potentially Aaron Donald to go along with all the other offseason moves they've made. Like they are front and center, front of mind here. You think about the 49ers and, you know, getting their key guys back healthy. I feel like there's been some discussion there. And the Cowboys have had a major, major upgrade on their defensive personnel. We've obviously always going to focus on them, but that's a legit team. I feel like everybody's kind of forgotten about the Philadelphia Eagles. And I look at their roster and I look at where they are up front on the offense and defensive line. I know Grenard's a little dinged up right now, but this is still a very good team. I'm a believer in Jalen Hurts. I think this thing with Mannion is going to be something that gets better throughout the whole season. You still got Saquon Barkley back there. I mean, a talented roster, Rich. It just feels like for a team that's, you know, won some Super Bowls and been in Super Bowls, like, man, I haven't heard anything. Nobody talking about them.
What about an AFC team that nobody's talking about that we should be hearing about?
Well, I mean, there's been talk about them. I hear out there, but the Bengals to me, it's they are the team that when you just look at them, and if it all goes well, you can see how they could get to the finish line. I love Burrow so much. He needs to stay healthy. They've solved a lot of those offensive line problems over the last couple of years. I like what they've done defensively. Dexter Lawrence, there's only a couple guys like him in the entire league. You know, you could say like Vita Vea would be another one, but there's very few guys with that size, that power that can impact both the run game and the pass game. So I thought that was an astute move by them to trade that pick and go get him. They have to be better on that side of the ball. I think they will be. And, you know, Joe Burrow, and you get yourself in a playoff environment, in a playoff game, Rich, him and Jamar Chase out there, that's going to be a tough one to stop.
Well, I mean, again, I don't know what to read into preseason action. He connects with Jamar Chase against the Lions right off the bat and then gets sacked twice, you know, and he's taking hits again. And then he shows up in his postgame press conference with the old "I work here" hat, you know, and we're trying to wonder, like, is it "I work here" or I work here.
I wore that jacket on my first date with my wife. It was a good move. Yeah. I felt good about it at the time. It was a linen jacket. Yeah, and then it didn't hold up in the pictures. He pulls it off a little bit better than I did back in 1997. Yeah, not good.
No, but in all seriousness, though, I mean, the protection is what it's all about with him, right? In the same way that
they were better last year there, Rich. Okay. I thought their issues were way more defensively than offensive line base. So I know it's the preseason. I tweeted out the other day, which got people fired up, you know, both ways. But like, look, the preseason can be a liar here. So let's not get too high. Don't get too low. Mm-hmm. It's just getting your work in and let's get to the regular season.
That said, Jeremiah Love, brother. I mean, he jumped off. He jumped literally. But off the screen figuratively. Right. I mean, people are saying mentioned Adrian Peterson comparisons. Daniel, what do you think?
Well, I've never shook the hand of Jeremiah Love, but I'm going to say he doesn't get to that level of grip strength first and foremost.
Whenever I shook Adrian Peterson's hand back in the day, it felt like I had a blood pressure cuff put on my arm. Like you could have, 120 over 80.
Well, I see, you know? See, the first time I shook his hand was at the combine when he was coming into the draft process.
Yes.
So this is before word had gotten out. Like after a while, that word circulated, you're going to want to go with the fist bump on that one. That would caught me off guard a little bit. It was a very aggressive and very violent handshake. But look, he is electric. He's explosive. There's kind of a little bit of that a little herky jerkiness to him that reminds you of Adrian. Adrian kind of had that little style. So I see some stylistic similarities there. But Adrian Peterson was just bigger and stronger, you know. So right. They're a little bit different from that standpoint. But man, this dude is dynamic. He's explosive. Maybe don't need 14 touches in preseason game one, but I think you could see what this could look like here for this offense. And I'll be honest with you, speaking of the Cardinals, watching all these rookie quarterbacks, you go back and watch that Hall of Fame game. I would make a strong case that, again, we're not overreacting to preseason. But if in baseball, we're all baseball fans, you guys hear scouting term hitterish, like this guy just looks kind of hitterish. He just looks comfortable. Beck looked very quarterbackish. Like he looked very comfortable, looked like he's played a lot of football. Just the way his eyes were working, his feet were connected. He was driving the ball. He could layer the ball. He just, you know, it was, again, don't overreact to it, but just looking at it, I'm like, this guy, you can tell, you know, when I watched him at Georgia, I thought, is this going to be like a Carson Palmer type player early on in his career? That's kind of the trend line he was on. And it obviously took kind of a interesting path to Miami, but had a great year there last year. And I think where they got him was good value. And he looked good, man.
All right, sports talk radio question then. Who gets a start first, all things being equal, not injury related, Beck or Fernando Mendoza? Daniel?
Oof. I'll say Beck. And I know, look, I saw some really good things from Mendoza, and I know he's been getting some first-team reps. To me, it feels like that's even the smart move if he's not going to be the starter, is just let's try and load him up early in this process, get him as much work as we can. And then I just don't know if you're going to deviate this quickly off of your plan, which had been we want to sit him, we want to rest him, we want him to see the game from the sideline, and that's the Mahomes plan, and it seemed like that was the plan that's been articulated by everybody in that organization. So you know, maybe it's just too tempting. He's so talented and so gifted that you rush him out there, but I'm going to hold them at their word there and say that still gets us to at least the midway point of the season. I think we see Beck before then.
Okay. What did you make of Mendoza's first go around? And then I don't know if you saw a soundbite from yesterday's practice, where he was just so, you know, did you hear his post?
I didn't see it.
We've got to play it for you, 'cause it's just an instant classic. This was him after getting some time with the ones for the seemingly first time in the joint practice with the Texans.
Be able to get some reps with the ones against the superstars on their defense. And then obviously their twos are fantastic as well. We got so much work, whether it was move the ball, first down, third down, red zone, 2 minute. There were so many situations. And I believe overall it was a positive day. There were plays that I loved and plays that I wish I had back. But in reality, that's a lie. I wish I didn't have them back because it's a growing experience. And it's practice. It's practice, and this is what I love. And it's just a beautiful day to play football here, and I'm so happy of so many things to learn from today.
God, I love it. He reminds me of the nice professor. That's who he reminds me of. The nice professor after a test. Hey, I've graded the test. Some of you did quite well. Some of you not so good, but I'm telling you, you guys, let's just stick with it. We have study group opportunities for you outside of class. We're gonna learn together. We're gonna grow. And if you did well, that's great. If you didn't, it's fine. We're gonna be okay. Like, he just reminds me of that nice professor. He might have given you a D, but you want to shake his hand and wish him a nice weekend on the way out of class.
We thought he's the quarterback of Sesame Street. You know what I mean?
Like, that's, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what he said. He's just, he's so earnest.
He's a gem.
I know. And I can't wait to one day, because he's going to get out there. I can't wait for him to one day, you know, be the guy there. And it's, and he owns the offense and owns the Raiders, and he just owns maybe other teams. That's the way it feels. And that's why you got to wonder, like, why not just give it a whirl? You know what I mean? That seems to be landing on a lot of mindsets these days, but Cousins is still there for a reason, as you point out, you know?
Yeah, I think to me, it's having the opportunity to learn the offense well enough and learn defenses well enough that you have the answers to protect yourself. You know, this offensive line, and obviously Linderbaum comes over, but they're still wanting in some areas, and they need to get better, Rich. And I think when you're a veteran, you just know how to protect yourself. And I'm not talking about how you brace for a hit. I'm talking about being able to slide protections, to be able to understand where pressure's coming from, and just want him to be in a position when he does get out there that he can protect himself. So that's why I feel like there's no rush. I don't really view this as a playoff caliber team this year. The most important thing for the Raiders this year is that the Fernando Mendoza train is on the tracks and headed in the right direction once we finish the year.
Lastly, let's finish with the quarterback chosen between Mendoza and Carson Beck, and that's Ty Simpson. What to read into his 21 of 25 palooza in Kansas City in his first preseason action? DJ.
Yeah, he was good, man. I thought it was a combination. They did a really nice job of getting him comfortable early in the game. I'm always a fan of offensive coordinators that let you see the ball go through the hoop a few times to get yourself into a rhythm. They did that. It was a lot of boots, working the flats early. And then I thought as the game went along, you saw, you know, more of the graduate level stuff. You saw him fit a ball in the seam. You saw him surveying the field, you know, much more so than he was early on. So I thought it was impressive how he played. It was very solid. It was very consistent. But I also think they did a wonderful job of setting him up for success. And, man, it's a reminder, Rich, of when you're evaluating players, and the skill set is important, but, man, the fit is everything. And if you're Ty Simpson and you could pick a place and a person to play for, to call plays, and to sit behind Matthew Stafford for what we assume is going to be a couple years, like, I mean, that's Christmas. He couldn't have found himself in a better spot.
Do you think at the end of the day that Les Snead and Sean McVay will be comfortable having him backing up Matthew Stafford for an otherwise Super Bowl-ready and Super Bowl-favorite Rams team? What do you think?
To me, Stetson Bennett, I've seen him do this stuff that he did in the preseason. I've seen Stetson Bennett do that live in person several times. I think Stetson Bennett understands this thing. He's, you know, he can get you through a stretch of games if he needed to. I would be of the idea of let's keep three and go that route. But, you know, hey, maybe they want to, you know, they want to save a roster spot and they decide to see if they could get Stetson Bennett down. I don't know that they'd be able to get him down to the practice squad without him getting claimed. So I would lean towards three. I know a lot of teams don't want to do that. But where they are right now, I mean, it'll say a lot. If they end up making Ty the number two with their expectations for this season going into the fall, that'll tell you that he is way ahead of schedule, in my opinion.
Daniel Jeremiah, you the man. Thanks again, pal. Let's chat again real soon. And, you know, may your team beat the Mets again. What?
So if this is the screen and that's the fence, so his hand went about this high up above the wall when he brought
off,
that back.
Out of frame. Yeah. Out of frame.
Yeah, he was right. He was right here. He was right here, and then he brought it in, and then he flipped the ball into his other hand. He's just so cool, man.
DJ, I would say there were two Mets fans sitting right there. Of all times for them not to interfere, I mean, they could have just reached over and snatched the ball.
Yeah, neither are named Jeffrey or Mayer, so we'll see. Thank you,
at least Soto played well. All right, see you guys.
That's all right. Mic drop. There he goes, Daniel Jeremiah, with the rest of his Wednesday. Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debt play. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debt play.
O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Rich Eisen here. We talk a lot about battles in sports. Teams battling through adversity, athletes fighting for every yard. The toughest warriors I've ever seen, though, aren't on the field. They're kids fighting cancer. Their families standing beside them. Doctors, nurses, caregivers. That's why I'm proud to support Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 28 years, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research, raising more than $303 million and supporting over 40,000 children. Learn more and donate at HyundaiUSA.com/Hope on Wheels. Okay. Charge is going to be all right. Everybody just take a breath. Take a beat.
Chill.
See how it goes. Sergeant Slaughter, he's coming into town to be the center. Let's take a break. We're coming back. My power rankings, everybody, of the top game wreckers in the National Football League. That's next. Jordan Love, still to come, too.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Stupid. Our radio audience is back. We just celebrated on the TV side, if you will celebrate it. On this date in 2009, Shark Tank debuted for the first time.
Woo.
And we just showed the 2017 clip that we have every now and then. Oh, we show it
because
it's one of my favorite clips. Hoskins knows it makes me laugh every time. 2017, when Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, was here in studio, and we were like, how do we get set for this? And we insisted that
you pitch him. Yeah.
So we set up a microphone to the right of Chris and made you stand up
and
pitch him like you're on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And he, as he said, completely eviscerated your idea. I don't know what my favorite part of this is now subsequently is the fact that you didn't want to do it.
I didn't want to.
And we basically hectored you into doing it.
Yeah.
And then we got the result we wanted, which is him totally destroying you and leaving you in, you know, a fetal position in a way.
I didn't care.
I know that. But that was fun for us.
It was.
Or is it now subsequently one of my favorites because the app that you pitched him that he totally pooped on does, in fact, exist now?
Exactly. It's like.
But it existed then.
No, it didn't. Not in its form of what I had,
you know,
like, evolved.
And so he could,
that
you could have more boats now. Like, if he actually goes, you know what, that's a good idea, and he actually invest. We were wondering, what if he actually invested? What if he's actually like, you and I need to talk?
He said that someone else might have invested in the idea after you guys didn't listen.
That one I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
After he was walking off, he's like, one of the other ones may have. Yeah, you see?
No. I don't think he did that.
You weren't listening.
I was absolutely listening. I was standing here the entire time, and I do not recall.
After he was walking off.
I was like, oh. Chris, help me out on this one. There's not a chance.
This reeks of post Family Feud. You know, Steve actually said that was a good guess, and
he did,
and it should have been on the board.
He did. Should have.
I don't believe that one either. You know, if only Cuban was here.
I sucked on Family Feud. I'll admit it.
Okay.
I was terrible.
We love you, Mike.
I can admit it. I'm bad.
I've got a power rankings. Then we'll get some more of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. My power rankings of NFL game wreckers. I've got 10 of them, and it's brought to you by SoFi.
This is my
power rankings. All right, these are my power rankings of NFL game wreckers brought to you by SoFi. And just like most valuable player as an award, it's always subjective. It's always like, what do you consider valuable? What is valuable? I mean, at the end of the day, is your metric, well, if you remove that player from the team, that just shows you how effed they would be without such a player, thus he has value or she has value, right? It's just, you see it. And in terms of game wreckers, I'm going with the game goes one way. One snap, two snaps, three snaps with this player on the field later, and he in the National Football League has wrecked the game for you. Blown it open for his team. And I'm going to start with two guys who did not have great, for them, 2025 seasons. These people are going to be, in my estimation, Hall of Famers one day. One of them might raise your eyebrows on that. But this guy at number 10 is the king of his team is struggling a little bit. He comes in over the edge. Sack, force, fumble, and perhaps fumble recovery, if not maybe even for a touchdown. Trifectas, superfectas, whatever you want to go. I'm putting TJ Watt here. He is a game wrecker of the first A++ variety, and I kind of think he's going to show up with a bit of a shoulder chip this year. What do you think? In Western Pennsylvania. I'm putting him number 10, and while we're staying in that state, I'm going to go east here. And, you know, when you got a 2,000-yard, you know, campaign, possibly, and you're crushing everybody, and you're the offensive player of the year going away, then the next year you barely crack 1,000 yards and you're not the same guy in terms of wrecking the game, I'm still putting Saquon on my list. I can't quit him. I mean, just ask a Los Angeles Ram fan if he can wreck a game. 1 second, you think, okay, we're back in this game. We got that. We're high registered. See you later. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Did it in Los Angeles. Did it in Philadelphia snow. Mm-hmm. And those are two that didn't have such a great season last year that I'm still putting on my game records list. Number 8 is the reigning offensive player of the year. He didn't finish up strong, but for the first 12, 13 weeks of last season, he kind of won himself an offensive player of the year award, and I'm putting Jackson Smith and Jigba here. And I have to put somebody from the defending Super Bowl champs here.
You definitely do.
I know he didn't have a big Super Bowl either. And that'll be something to keep an eye on for their title defense here. I was thinking of putting the entire Seahawks defense here. But I reserve one of my 10 spots for a fence sit, and that's coming up shortly. Because, you know, for me to say I can't choose one from the Seahawks defense. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence would be that guy. Remember how many times he would just wreck the game out of nowhere? Just to name one. But I'm putting JSN. Tipping the cap to the defending Super Bowl champs and the reigning offensive player of the year. Number 7 is another guy who really, I gave him an all pro vote. I'm putting Max Crosby here. I'm putting the Condor here.
Yeah.
He can wreck the game on you. Boy, I'd love to see him do it again for the Raiders. Certainly since he could have been a Raven. This is why the Ravens said it. We'll give you 2 ones. But I'm putting Max Crosby here at 7. And then number 6, I have to put someone from the Texans defense on here. I'm putting Will Anderson here.
Yeah, you are.
Coming around the edge, see ya. Game over. I'm going to call my shot and say it happens twice this year, at least, for the Texans. $50 million a year. And there's a reason why they paid him $50 million a year, and we need to see it from the quarterback before they hit that number, maybe. I shouldn't say that since I don't know the actual details of their conversations.
But
Will Anderson Jr. is an absolute beast of the first variety. Let's get to my top 5. Here's my fence sit. I couldn't choose one or the other. I just couldn't. So number 5 is B. Jameer Gibsonson. Or Gibbonson.
That sounds like the Key and Peele player.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right, a Key and Peele pair?
B. Jameer Gibson.
B. Jameer Gibbonson. Gibbonson.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Tackle.
Well, one went to Texas. What? Texabama? Is that where they went?
Texabama University.
Careful. B. Jameer Gibbonson.
B. Jameer.
I couldn't choose. Because I don't want to leave anybody else out.
That's
from
funny.
Above.
That's funny. I like that.
Okay. I'm going to take both running backs right there. Number five. Yes. That's my fence sit. Number four, I'm putting Puka here. This guy's a game wrecker. Just out of the blue. Let's go around. Let's have an end around. Let's have a 50-50 ball. Let's have him go across the middle and then gone. Like, see ya. Finished. Game over. And it looked like that was the case in Seattle last year in overtime. In that game with that two-point conversion that Seattle fans love to poke Rams fans with, and rightfully so. But don't forget, Puka scored that one first. And then the Seahawks marched right down the field, scored. And Mike McDonald's like, screw it, we're going for two. So Puka's four. But I can't have him as the top receiver. I'm putting Ja'Marr Chase three. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Let's not forget who this guy is, right?
No doubt.
He is a game wrecker. And then he'll just collect receptions. And it's just like, how many times when Burrow finds him when healthy, or Jake Browning did, or Flacco did, right? Where it's just like, is anybody aware that Ja'Marr Chase is out on the field? Like, like
why is he open? Why is he getting free releases? Why? And then he's gone. Then he just goes 80 yards.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm putting him here. Two, I'm putting a quarterback on the list, and it's Josh Allen.
Ooh, of course.
He's just a game wrecker. A game wrecker. When it first started, because it was timely in terms of the pop culture reference, called him the Mandalorian quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the way. Impenetrable. Never takes his helmet off. You know, has a code of honor. Has different weapons to beat you, whether it's rockets or it's,
right,
you know, laser, freaking lasers. You know what I mean? Fire. Whatever it is, he's got it, and he's going to blow torch you or take you out, and he's a game wrecker.
He's the Bills' all-time leading rusher for touchdowns. That's crazy.
I know. He has next to him, or behind him, depending on the formation, the guy who led the league in rushing, and he had the same number of rushing touchdowns as the league leader in rushes, 14. They had 28 on the ground last year in the end zone just for those two guys alone. One of them's a league-leading rusher, and the other one's a quarterback handing it to him or flipping it to him. Come on. Number one's Myles Garrett. End of story. Okay?
Yep.
Which is why everybody's talking about the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl this year, and everybody accuses me of watching Overreaction Monday that I'm a Rams fan now. Niner fans are very upset with me right now. Seahawks fans, too. And by the way, this just shows you how crazy it is. If Aaron Donald comes back, it's Miles Donald. It's Aaron Garrett, you know? That's what's so stupid about the possibility of this happening. Is he back yet? He's not.
Nope.
But Miles Garrett is a game wrecker. Number one game wrecker in the National Football League.
Hard to argue.
And those are my power rankings of NFL game wreckers brought to you by SoFi. Get your money right. Anybody? Bueller? I mean, obviously, there's so many other running backs you could choose, and you could choose other wide receivers.
Sure.
Defensive ends. I didn't choose one of those, you know, Derwin James.
Yeah, no secondary guys.
Kyle Hamilton, Christian Gonzalez.
Right.
It's tough to wreck a game.
Right.
Like, when those guys, well, certainly corners, like Patrick Surtain, or back in the day, Sauce.
Well, we probably would have put Ed Reed and Troy on this list, though, right? You flip a game with a pick six.
Those guys truly wrecked games, too.
Yeah, I know. Especially Polamalu, because he wrecked games from places he wasn't supposed to be.
He would fly.
It's just like, you're not supposed to be there. Well, how are you wrecking the game from there?
Ed would purposely line up in the wrong spot.
Right, and he would wreck the game by picking it off and then pitching it.
Lateraling it to Ed, you know what I mean? Lewis or something.
So maybe so. I just don't know. I just couldn't find it. Like, who am I taking off? I guess it could have taken off, you know, first couple guys. But T.J. Watt, he's the king of, like, the Steelers are losing momentum here. They can't score. They're not doing this. They're not doing it. Oh, here comes T.J. Watt around the edge. Game over. It happened all the time. It still does.
I mean, I like your list. Obviously.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
It didn't sound like he liked the list.
It did not.
I did like it, but you just, okay. You excluded Caleb Downs, you know?
I honestly thought, you go, where's Micah?
Micah. Well, he's not mine on my team anymore.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I still love, but.
He can wreck it. Micah's a game wrecker.
Rich Eisen here. Running a small business means every hire matters. A bad hire costs time and money, but the right one helps your business grow. The challenge? Finding that person without sorting through resumes. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. Rich Eisen here for Gusto. After all these years talking to athletes, coaches, entertainers, and people at the top of what they do, one thing is pretty clear. Success usually depends on getting the details right. For small business owners, that includes payroll, hiring, onboarding, benefits, you know, the work that keeps everything moving, even if it's not the reason you started the business in the first place. That's why there's Gusto. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. And it's all built to save you time with built-in automated tools for offer letters, onboarding docs, direct deposit, and more. Plus, you get unlimited payroll runs for one monthly price. No hidden fees, no surprises. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/rich and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/rich. One more time, gusto.com/rich. He can.
Maca.
So that's the only one I was thinking, like, what do I do here? But TJ Watt's done it longer, I think. I don't know.
Well, Micah or
Mike Hoskins with a blow here.
What are you saying?
He goes, he's got to be on the field to wreck a game.
That's true.
You know
we
what?
We don't know when we're going to see him.
Dang. I mean, that's cold, but it's, you know, kind of true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
844-204-RICH, eager to take your thoughts on the subject matter. Jordan Love still to come. My Bears four downs to be fair and balanced with the Packers crew and the Bears crew. As I mentioned, 844-204-RICH, your phone calls coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
We get our own olive oil.
Back here on the Rich Eisen.
We're in.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We got some phone calls. We're going to take in a second here.
I'm going to be a farmer.
You really want to adopt a...
Yes. I'm with TJ.
Why not?
An olive oil tree, and then they take pictures, and it grows, and they follow, and then they...
Right, there's,
and
there's,
then they harvest the oil and send it to you in a...
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to figure this out, because the site that TJ sent, right, there's three options. You can get one tree.
One tree.
You can get your own family grove... which is three trees, or you can get a private orchard, which is 10. Now, there's only four of the orchard left, 10 of the family, and 30 individual trees.
33.
So we need to decide what we're going to do. And there's 5 hours left for this harvest.
That's why I figured that we could adopt three. It's not 10, but you know.
I think three is good.
Yeah.
Personalized olive tree adoption certificate. Your name is displayed on the trees. We can get custom labeled olive oil bottles.
Yes. Okay.
6 liters of our own olive oil, 4 quarterly shipments, and seasonal grove updates.
Just give me one tree. No, we don't need any more.
See, that's...
Just give me one tree.
It's not enough olive oil. Just give me, that's why we were going to do three.
Yeah. I think we do.
Guys, do whatever you want to do.
Rich is like...
Go ahead. Do whatever you want. Ryan in Florida.
We were going to.
What's up, Ryan?
We had every intention.
You there, Ryan?
Yes. Hi, Rich.
What's going on,
you want,
man?
A tree?
Ryan, you want to know a tree?
No, thank you.
No?
Okay. Okay.
Ryan's got sense of... He's got a good sense. What do you want to do, Ryan? What do you
some
want to talk
olive oil
about?
I would like to do the win-loss for my win-loss for the Jacksonville Jaguars, please.
Okay. I don't have... Has anybody done this yet? I don't have a single one.
I can take a look, too.
Give me the music. Give me something. Jacksonville Jaguars, Ryan, Florida, win-loss game. What happens when they open up against the Browns at home?
That is a win.
Now you're at Denver.
Loss.
Mm.
Smoked them last year.
You smoked them last year. Now you're home for the Patriots.
Win.
Ooh.
Now you're 2-1 at the Bengals.
Win.
You're heading to London 3-1 to take on the Eagles and Tottenham.
That would be a close loss.
3-2. Now you're in your true home, the house that Shad Khan owns against the Texans in Wembley.
Win.
4-2 after a bye, home for the Colts.
Win.
5-2 at the Ravens on a Thursday night.
That is a close loss.
5-3 at the Titans.
Win.
6-3 at the Giants.
Win.
Got the Titans at home right away.
Win.
8-3 at the Bears.
Close win.
9-3 home for the Steelers on a Monday night.
Win.
10-3 at the Texans.
Loss.
10-4 at the Cowboys. Ooh.
Close win.
Now, by the way, that's on Sunday night. 11-4 home for the Commanders.
Win.
12-4 at the Colts.
Win.
Okay. That's a 13-4 follow-up season. Ryan in Florida right there.
Okay.
That would be an outstanding follow-up to last year.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that if they are as good as we think they can be, right? That game at Dallas 2 days after Christmas on Sunday night will be a big, huge football game for both. Both are going to need it. Both are going to need that one for real. And Liam Cohen bringing his Jaguars into Jerry's house.
That's going to be fun.
I mean, if the Cowboys and the Jaguars are as good as they possibly can be, and we think they are, that is a sneaky big one. And then, you know, I found that fascinating. They're playing the Houston Texans in Wembley, their home game against Houston. They're putting in London. That's a big one too, man. Normally, you know, it's like a game like taking on Philadelphia or somebody at a conference, you know, or somebody in conference that they're, you know, going to have to beat. But that's a big, huge AFC South game in Wembley, which again is their own. That's their home stadium in a way. They play in Tottenham every year now, and they play in Wembley the week after that. And that's going to be an advantage. Let me see who Houston plays the week before.
Man, that pre-buy schedule is tough. I know there's two of the games in Wembley, but man.
Okay. So Houston's in Tennessee. So Houston's in Tennessee, and then they're going to fly over from there.
Right.
The jet lag is...
It's real.
It's real, man.
It's real.
It is. And some teams come at the last minute and just say, we're going to, you know, sleep on the plane, yeah, and we know our sleep schedule, yeah, and we're going to get there. And others, you know, get there well in advance. Yeah. Jacksonville's going to already be there for a week, which is a road trip, to be honest with you. But that game against Dallas, 13-4 would be a wonderfully successful season for anybody.
Be the one
but
seat.
Certainly to back it up, too.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Daydreaming about Fiore's soft dream knit fabric? Meet the Halo Essential Wide Leg Pant, designed with Fiore's softest premium stretch dream knit fabric. Invest in your happiness with some of the most comfortable clothes on the planet. Get 20% off your first purchase at Fiori.com/Halo20. That's Vuori.com/Halo20. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.